There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two. Glad to have you along. And phone calls, text line open, 343-0106, 343-0106. Yeah, look at some of the comments. It's not in the news story, but look at some of the comments on social media. Y'all don't miss... This is like when it comes to so many... Okay, this is like the texting and driving laws, right when they came out. Because... people will hear my opinion. They say, well, you must be for texting and driving. No, I'm not. I say you enforce the law, you know, back then, the laws that were on the books for distracted driving. Because whether somebody's looking at their phone texting or they're searching for a fry under the front seat or they're, you know, in the back seat threatening a child, you know, of coming further back there to whatever it is, if you're not paying attention, you're not paying attention, right? The actual thing that keeps you from paying attention, I don't know why that's more important. What I'm getting at is there's the story about this frozen onion, right? The frozen onion food chucking prank. Now, this is from MyNBC 15. Nicole Fierro put this up and says, it shows this same Facebook post I saw, and that said a ride down Airport Boulevard took a dangerous turn for a local family this weekend because a food throwing prank targeting a number of Mobile drivers. It says the Lundys, I guess that's the family, tell NBC 15 they were driving where Airport Boulevard meets Grand Bay Wilmer Road when a frozen onion came flying at their front windshield. Cars were coming in both directions, but Jeremy Lundy managed to swerve into oncoming traffic and avoid the onion hitting dead center of the windshield. Sometimes you just got to take the onion here. They say it's a miracle they didn't get an accident while reacting to the prank, and they talk about the injuries that happened to the family in the story. So there's a story, okay? And then I saw comments where somebody said, yeah, we need laws about, you know, frozen onions. You know, they were not specifically, they said like organic matter or something frozen being thrown at a vehicle. No, we don't. We need to just stick with the laws. Like, you can't throw anything at the vehicle. I mean, the idea that, yes, we're going to get busy and get some protection against frozen onions. No, how about we go, be it a rock, a frozen onion, a cabbage patch kit, you don't throw the stuff at the car. So the idea that somebody's wanting to, well, we need a specific law about frozen onions. No, you don't. And I feel for this family. It stinks. It's bad. And I like their post on Facebook. I do hope that the two young punks, as they call them, are caught. I hope they try to run a little bit, and then they're tackled. I'm with them on that. I'm with this family. Like, I'm on their side. But the people are saying, yo, you got to have something specific to frozen. No. How about you just don't throw stuff at vehicles? That's what I mean. It kind of, in a way, it's that same texting argument then. I mean, it was a feel-good thing that was passed, and I'm sure insurance companies liked it too, to have that specific letter of the law. But, I mean, we did have distracted driving as an offense you could have just enforced. But, all right, just a mini rant here. I've done this a couple times over the last month or two, but I promised somebody yesterday we would revisit that, and that would be the ballot items up that you will see on Tuesday. And by the way, too, I want to talk to you this hour about Tuesday. You heard some of the stats that Brendan Kirby was rolling out. A dozen states exceeding their early, the states have early voting, like walk-up early voting and absentee ballots, that there's a, seems to be, 2016 told us all to stand back from looking at polls, but it seems to be a bigger turnout expected, right? We had the story about 100,000 some odd voters being added to the rolls here in Alabama since the primaries as well. So it seems to be turnout seem, once again, let's go back to, seems to be on the way up. There's going to be a big turnout for a midterm. So I do want to hear from you this hour. Are you voting? Will you show up on Tuesday? Were you somebody who voted in the primaries? How are you going to vote? Another question, would you vote straight ticket? Are you a straight ticket voter, or do you go, you know, Scantron by Scantron and vote for your person? And what influence will, if you're a Trump supporter, even though you're not going to be voting for President Trump, what influence does President Trump and an agenda when you vote for a national, you know, a national office, does that mean something to you? Because he's not actually on the ballot. I mean, you might have shown up and would show up again to vote for President Trump, but does that mean you're going to vote for somebody else because of President Trump? So I'd love to hear from you this hour on that. But yeah, in addition to the actual names on the ballot, you're going to see four proposed statewide amendments. Okay, these are, I think we see them almost every time we have a statewide. There's usually a ballot amendment or two that make it on there. And I know in the past, one of the big problems was the doublespeak, lawyerese doublespeak, confusing way in which these ballot amendments were written. Like, you would feel like voting no meant no, but it actually meant yes, and vice versa. Remember that? Then the legislature, I think four sessions ago, passed a law requiring some language that made a little more sense there. But we'll run through these and let you kind of bounce these ideas around in your head before you sit down there and get the pencil out or the pen and fill in the Scantron there at your precinct. Amendment numero uno, number one, that you're going to see on Tuesday is the Ten Commandments amendment, okay, for lack of a better word. It's actually called on the ballot, let's see what the fancy term for it is here. It just says, yeah, proposed statewide amendment number one. They say, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Alabama of 1901, providing for certain religious rights and liberties, authorizing the display of the Ten Commandments on state property and property owned or administered by a public school or public body, and prohibiting the expenditure of public funds in defense of the constitutionality of this amendment. Now, it's really interesting. It is, do you vote for doing this, you know, for putting this there, knowing that it's going to receive a challenge, but in voting yes for this Ten Commandments amendment, you're also voting yes that no public money will be spent to defend the state of Alabama in a possible court case for this, right? So there's a little bit still of doublespeak in the mix. All right, so a pretty good rundown on this over at AL.com. I'm giving credit when credit is due, and Jeremy Gray has a story up here and says this. It said, in that story, it says kind of like a little more a language here that we would understand, and it would make it to where you could have state house, state judicial buildings, right? I mean, they're state-owned, administered schools and public bodies displaying the Ten Commandments. Now, we remember what happened before with then-Chief Justice Roy Moore, right? So this brings up the question, wouldn't this automatically trigger a lawsuit? And now they're saying that that lawsuit would not be, the defense would not be paid for by the taxpayers of Alabama. Then, of course, that makes me ask, who would pony up the money? Part of this is twofold. Number one, the sentiments of people who bring this amendment up to put the Ten Commandments up, to put this symbol up in state buildings, to do two things, to put it up in the short term and to rekindle the debate over this. And rekindling the debate is not a bad thing if you think the next time maybe the court goes differently. It also, like a lot of these amendments, just so you understand, it doesn't mean they're right or wrong, but they are also a way to get people out to vote. If you are, there are amendments put up sometimes that don't have a whole bunch to do with whether they think that amendment will pass or not, or if they really care because it doesn't have teeth, like this one, because no state money is used to defend. But it makes sure people come out to vote for it, that while they're there, we'll vote for some of the people on the list. All right, we'll get to a little more on this and then go to amendment number two when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
going on. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Halloween. It's going to be tough if the kids are in the vinyl costumes tonight, but hopefully they're not. Although one of mine is going as doing a Winnie the Pooh thing. And so like in a heavy cotton fur kind of, oh my gosh. I said, child, you're going to because sweat, you're going to sweat big time. I remember, and those of us from grew up in the 70s and 80s, we remember our vinyl costumes that were like a terrarium in there. Really poorly made vinyl. It smelled like a, you know, a shower curtain liner that you're walking in. Yeah, one of those. Hey, by the way, we get through Halloween. Of course, we are moving on to the holiday season and Thanksgiving and Christmas. And our friends over at Cottage Hill Package know about having a good time. They know about getting you ready for the get-together season. Cottage Hill Package has you covered for craft beer, for wine, spirits, cigars for gifts, right? Also, they can take care of a big party, and they're ready to take care of your beer keg orders. What a cool thing. I have a friend of mine, he and his wife do a Christmas party every year, and they do that. They get the craft beer keg, and it's really cool. It's kind of a different one each year. You kind of see what they're going to do. You can do the same thing for your Christmas party, maybe for your Thanksgiving. Hey, if you have a big family that likes craft beer, maybe for Thanksgiving. They also regularly carry a great selection of domestic beers, and they can order almost anything in their distribution network. So get thinking about what you need for your party and get with the folks at Cottage Hill Package. And remember, too, their new venue, Havana Rays Lounge. We talked about that grand opening a couple weeks ago. Perfect spot for holiday parties. That is a cool spot for a holiday party. I'm sure the folks here at work would like me to do it. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll try and do ours at Havana Rays. And that's just one of the parts here. Cottage Hill Package at Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. Havana Rays in Midtown. But either way, think about them for this upcoming holiday season. Cottage Hill Package ready to help you plan your party, put together that big order. If you need specialty kegs, anything like that, 660-0166. But better yet, just look them up at cottagehillpackage.com or friend them on Facebook there. Cottage Hill Package, getting you ready for the get-together season. Good stuff. All right, moving on here with the amendments. And people, you know, we can post some of these, but it's as easy as going to, it's sos.alabama.gov, or you could just look for 2018 Alabama ballot, and you'll get the full ballot. Now, you'll have to zoom in there to look at each proposed statewide amendment. But you can. It's a PDF document, and you can zoom in. All right, number two here, proposed statewide amendment number two says, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Alabama of 1901 as amended to declare and otherwise affirm that it is the public policy of this state to recognize and support the sanctity of unborn life and the rights of unborn children, most importantly, the right to life in all manners and measures appropriate and lawful, and to provide that the Constitution of this state does not protect the right to abortion and require the funding of abortion. Okay. So that is saying the state of Alabama does not, it's not, the right to abortion is not protected in the state of Alabama. They don't say legal, but not protected. Of course, that will open up for a challenge as well. These are, you know, I mean, you look at the Ten Commandments issue, and you look at the abortion issue, two absolutely very big issues to a lot of conservative voters. They are things that have been decided and decided by the Supreme Court, right? But will they come back up into play? New people in the Supreme Court, these are the questions. Which, by the way, the story that Brendan Kirby, who was on with us last hour, but Brendan had brought up a while ago and now has seems to be picked up by a bunch of other news agencies. It is a case out of Alabama that may be the case that goes to the Supreme Court to challenge Roe versus Wade again. So there's a lot of people say, oh, it is the case. It's the fetal homicide ruling, the Roe exception challenge, and it's something that Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall said he's going to take this case up the line. So maybe that's the way, and maybe this amendment is part of that. But once again, these are often things that have already been decided, but at a state level, they're saying it is not protected. Now, if you say it's illegal, it's a different thing, but not protected. So that's so number one, is, if you're looking at the amendments, is Ten Commandments being displayed on state property or property that's run by the state, public schools, public bodies, okay? that would say that that is, but once again, the end of that says all these things would be true, but there will not be, it specifically prohibits the expenditure of public funds to defend the constitutionality of this amendment. It seems like when they write that stuff, it seems like they're not even trying to change anything. They're just putting something up to get people to the polls and kind of something to talk about. But if you're not going to have any way to defend it, I wonder about that. Number two there, we just got through, would be once again the state of Alabama affirming that it is the public policy of the state to recognize and support the sanctity of unborn life and the rights of unborn children, and then most importantly, the right to life in all manners and measures appropriate and lawful, and to provide that the Constitution of this state does not protect the right to abortion or require the funding of abortion. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It just says it's not required. So once again, I mean, these there are flash words in here. There's words that you go, okay, good, yeah, I'm about that or I'm against that. But often you have to read in to get the narrow part of this. Proposed statewide amendment number three. This is one that it may actually have some real-world implications, not things that would be set up for a bigger federal challenge. But this is like so many things in our state. You go, why is this even up for a vote statewide? Number three says, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Alabama of 1901 relating to the Board of Trustees of the University of Alabama, Roll Tide, to specify that the congressional districts from which members are appointed continue to reflect those as constituted on January 1st, 2018, and to remove the state superintendent of education from membership and to delete the requirement that members vacate office at the annual meeting of the board following their 70th birthday. In other words, no old folks need apply. Get out of here. Now, that's fine. There's probably great reasons behind this statewide amendment number three. But shouldn't that be, I mean, if you disagree, I'll put you to the front of the line here at 343-0106. But stuff like that, is that something that needs to be on a statewide ballot for a bunch of us that don't know the nuance and the players in this and the reasoning for this and that to be voting on? I mean, I know it's our system and it has to be done that way, but isn't that antiquated? Doesn't that seem like well, I don't know, like, what districts and why they should be on the board and not be on the board? And I study this stuff. And I don't know the story behind the story, but once again, it'll be up for statewide approval or disapproval. And then proposed statewide amendment number four here. Proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Alabama of 1901 to provide that if a vacancy, and this is one that has real ramifications and is of the purview and the interest of we the citizens, says to provide that if a vacancy in either the House of Representatives or the Senate occurs on or after October 1st of the third year of a quadrennium, right, so the four-year period, the seat would remain vacant until a successor is elected at the next succeeding general election. In other words, no special. In other words, if the seat is vacated, if, you know, John or Jane Alabama leaves office for a variety of reasons, the seat is vacated, they die, it's Alabama, they get thrown in jail, whatever, they're out of the seat, and it's after October 1st of the third year of the quadrennium. In other words, we've gotten way more than half of this thing done, the quadrennium. That seat would remain vacant until the next general election. In other words, no special in that case. Now, if it was earlier in the quadrennium, yes, but if it was after October 1st of the third year of the quadrennium, there would be no special. So what do you think? That one is something that's come up here as of the last, what, 2.5 years. So how would you vote on that? All right, we'll talk about that when we get back. Also, check with Dr. Bill. I can tell you this, I just walked outside to the old truck here a second ago, and the wind out of the south and bringing in some very humid air, which is, I guess, a precursor to the pretty big thunderstorms Dr. Bill's calling for tomorrow. More on that on the way, and your calls and text, 343-0106, 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 online, fmtalk1065.com. You know, some questions coming in about those amendments. We'll get back to that in just a second. I do want to talk to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins. First of all, happy Halloween, man.
Yeah, happy Halloween, Sean. So you dressed up there at the office?
Yes, I have. The last hour, I debuted my costume. And, you know, I like to have my costumes kind of ripped from today's headlines, right?
Sure.
So my costume, I don't know if you've been following the story about the naked man in Spanish Fort who fled the scene of an accident.
I heard a little bit about it. That's your costume.
That's
today?
My costume. Yeah, that's what I'm going as. So,
well, that's good. It's better than going as those protesters that were in Mississippi yesterday.
Which ones specifically are you talking about?
The ones that were protesting circumcision with a very bloody costume.
Okay, those. Yes, I don't want any part of that one. And hopefully,
I was afraid that's where you were going with that. So I'm glad you just stuck with Naked Spanish Fort Guy.
Yeah, that's where I am. Naked Spanish Fort Guy is the look I'm going for. So now let's talk about a little bit what's going on at the shop for a couple of reasons. Number one, talk about just getting specialty coins, getting things ordered, and also I know it's way out of our purview, but some people right after Halloween start getting cracking on their Christmas list.
Well, they really do, and I've been shocked how many people are planning that far ahead and getting things together. Everything from open-L pocket knives to those silver elephant rounds we talk about all the time. Matter of fact, somebody came in the other day and bought out all the silver Darth Vader rounds because apparently they have a huge Star Wars followers in their family.
You know, I'll say this. I don't know. The rounds are a great gift, but I know personally those open-L knives, and I've said this before, and it has worked so well for me. If you go, you'll want to get an open-L for yourself, but buy a handful of them, and I keep them in the desk drawer in my office at the house. That way, you know, I've got a party, I've got a nephew or a friend or whatever. A knife, a great quality knife is just it's a perfect gift, and, I just keep them on the ready.
Well, it is. It's a great thing to have, and most people here in the States have never even heard of Open-L, and that's a knife company that's been around since 1890. And I wanted to mention, if you're taking the kids out trick-or-treating tonight in that costume you just mentioned, mm-hmm. you may want to swing by the shop beforehand and pick up some jewelry, just saying.
In jewelry, it's not like you're going to say, well, we just have this brand or that brand. Y'all have so many different pieces of jewelry, so many unique items.
Well, we do, and that's the part that's sort of hard to say. I mean, right now we just put a beautiful rose gold and diamond ring out there on Facebook, so somebody could take a look at that. But it's one. I have one of those in stock. So if you see something really cool on our Facebook page, you better act quickly because it's the only one we've probably got in stock.
All right, good deal. Give people directions to come out and see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590. Or like I was saying, go on to Facebook and like and follow Mobile Bay Coins there.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins. And we'll grab your calls and text at 343-0106, 343-0106. And also, you heard that little update there. Let's see what the market's doing. Let's go back and check out what's the latest. What's the latest from Market Watch? Let's see. Because this is going to be interesting, because it was last week, last week that the market took it on the chin so badly. Right, and a little bit the week before, but it's October, right? October is traditionally, even though there have been other bad months, October a bad month for markets, and you really took a beating in a lot of stocks last week. All right, Dow up 404 points as of right now, S&P up 48.6, NASDAQ up 184. Let's see, oil is down. What I'm getting at is, what is happening here on the market? Somebody was asking earlier, well, what about last week? The market's recovered. I'm looking at it. I watch the numbers every day. The market is recovered. Still volatile. Still really, really volatile. And then, like, some of the people warn you this market's bouncing like a dead cat. No, I'm not before everybody gets angry at me. Dead cat bounce, right? It's a term. So a dead cat bounce is a market term for, like, the market's in a downtrend, but it goes down and then it comes back up for a while before it really goes down. It's like you can only know you're having a dead cat bounce, as they call it, looking in the rearview mirror. It's people trying to cover, you know, people trying to come in and buy at a discount after you have an original fall of a bull market, right? A fall in that bull market. Then you have those prices go down. Then you have these rallies because people are coming in to cover and make these, you know, they're closing out shorting positions, all those things. And it makes the market come back up. But you only know that. The ones that are saying this is a dead cat bounce are trying to predict what's going to happen. You don't know that until you look in the rear view. So I don't know. I mean, I'm watching the market. The market is looking all right now, but it has been one of these things day to day that we got to see right now. So those brainiacs that are saying it's a dead cat bounce right now in the market, it's their prediction. I don't know that it is true. Hey, and also answering, and I want to get special Mobile, special county election Mobile ballot amendment 2 here in just a second. But people were asking about, that language on the abortion amendment number 2 was still confusing. I'll say it this way. What's confusing, when I point out that this amendment doesn't have any teeth, it's because you already have federal law that says that, you know, Roe versus Wade is the law of the land. What voting yes on statewide amendment number 2 would do, so if you're a pro-life, you know, voter and you look at this, what you're doing is you're underlining, highlighting your opposition to it. Voting, it's not going to make abortion illegal in the state of Alabama. Doesn't change it. What it does is, it says specifically, it just says the state constitution, constitution of 1901, it says it does that the state constitution, that it is public policy of this state to recognize and support the sanctity of unborn life, the rights of unborn children, most importantly, the right to life in all manners and measures appropriate and lawful, and to provide the constitution of this state does not protect the right to abortion or require funding of abortion. That comes from a federal. That comes from federal. So it's I don't want to say, because I don't want to cheapen this at all, but it's a vote to double down your feelings. It's not one that would make a law, pass a law making abortion illegal in Alabama. Does that make some more sense? I know some people were confused there. What it does is just reiterates that the state doesn't protect the right to abortion, but then you're going to, you know, the feds do. So it's like so many of these ballot amendments, and so many people are scared to talk about them because they're like, oh man, if you talk about them and try to take them apart, people think you don't back that or don't, you know, and you quit being scared of stuff. I mean, you could be as pro-life as it gets and read that and go, okay, it's a measure to show that you're pro-life, but it doesn't change what's going on. That's all I'm getting to. Also, the other thing for Mobile County people, we'll be looking at the pay-as-you-go road, bridge, and drainage facilities. It's this the bonds not exceeding $60 million principal amount. It's what's been going on. It's just continuation. So if you're for it, you're for the Mobile County pay-as-you-go road, bridge, and drainage facility bonds. And if you're against it, of course, you're against that. So it's fairly – that one actually has some numbers, and I'll read through it real fast, but I mean, this one's fairly easy to understand, even though lengthy. It says, for Mobile County voters, you'll see this: shall Mobile County in the state of Alabama be authorized to issue from time to time and in one or more series its pay-as-you-go road, bridge, and drainage facility bonds not exceeding $60 million in principal amount for the purpose of raising funds for the construction and improvement or either of hard surface roads, hard surface bridges, and surface water drainage facilities, or any thereof in the county. I love thereof. Who uses that word? Or any thereof in the county which bonds shall bear interest at a rate or rates to be fixed when they are sold, not exceeding 12% per annum, payable semiannually until their respective maturities. Blah, 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 blah. So it goes. So in other words, on that one, you can read down through the principal amount and maturation of the bonds and all those kind of things, but basically you want to continue with pay as you go. All right, so there's, hopefully that helps you just get to thinking how you feel on some of those other things that'll be on your ballot. 145 FM Talk 106.5, coming right back and talk to you.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 150 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Halloween style. Yeah, Dr. Bill says the rain not going to be an issue for trick-or-treating tonight. That rain coming in tomorrow for our area. But it's going to be hot. It's going to be right now sticky out there, getting into the 80s, maybe in the 70s by the time they hit the trick-or-treat streets. Which, by the way, what time is that? Like, I think it can still be daylight, but it has to be towards dusk, right? That just doesn't... Like, when we have the docks, and especially when they're little bitty kids, it's cool. It's cool. When it's like 4:30 in the afternoon. But I kind of usually in the schedule would like to get dinner, like, prepared or something like that, or maybe even eaten, and then run the kids through the route, and then come in and tag out at the house for handing out candy. I mean, when do you... When's too early? I mean, there's so many stories like there's a, where was it, municipality, Dalton had the story, I think, last week in 6.5 stories that banned trick-or-treating over a certain age. I mean, it was like a actual thing you could be, I guess, arrested for or cited for. But what about what time? What time is too early? Now, we could, and also, hey, we'll bookend it. What time's too late? What time... Because, you know, you have, like, the normal rush of people coming through, and then you get those late ones, like, you're like, really? Really? You're still out doing this? It's, you know... And, like, at my house, it may be earlier, because the nature of when I go to sleep and the age of my children, but still, I would say... Would y'all say, and when's too late? Is nine too late? Is 10 too late? Okay? So, where do you put that? And then how early is too early? Unless they're really cute and young kids. And then at that point, it's okay. I mean, because you can't get mad. The parents bring them up and they're, you know, like toddlers or whatever. And I get it. They got to get those kids to sleep. And so sometimes the, like, bright daylight trick-or-treaters are okay when they're... But be a young, cute kid. Don't, you know, don't be like in your teenage years and come before we get dinner on. But when's too early? When's too late? When's that window for you? And should that be something that's... mandated out there? Lord knows we want to change the date of Halloween to, you see that change.org petition, right, that wants to move it to the last Saturday in the month of October. While it may be convenient, I understand the allure, the convenience of it, it completely just ignores the significance of the date and why it's then and why, you know. Oh, and somebody asked about the sex offender thing. So there was a story our news partners at WKRG did earlier in the week about there's no Alabama law that sex offenders can't give out candy, right? They do point out you can do a search, you know, you can do a search around your where you live, you can search wherever in Alabama for residents, you know, or where sex offenders live, and you can choose not to go there, and I'm with you on that. But it says, yeah, there's no law against... And thank you. Somebody, I think it was Sheriff's Department, was commenting in the story and said to the effect of, we don't have the manpower or the money to enforce that. And they, sadly, with the number of people that would qualify as sex offenders out there, they don't. And what are you going to do? Are you going to have to post a deputy at every house? Now, I did see a story that popped up today out of Georgia, Butts County. No, go ahead and laugh. Butts County, Georgia. A sheriff, it's with two T's. Butts County, Georgia. Sheriff's office in Georgia is taking proactive approach to warn parents about which houses to avoid while out trick-or-treating. The Butts County Sheriff's Office posted no trick-or-treat signs in the yards of registered sex offenders in the area. Now, these are like the political signs, the core class signs. Say, stop, warning, no trick-or-treat at this address. Community safety message from the Butts County Sheriff. And they put this up in the yards of the sex offenders. Sign also includes graphics of a Halloween candy bag and the circle with the line through it. So no getting candy here. It says here a Facebook post from the Sheriff's Department says, Georgia law forbids sex offenders from participating in Halloween to include decorations on their property. They can't even decorate. make sure to avoid houses which are marked with the attached posted signs. So signs were posted, placed in accordance with Georgia law, and they cite the statute. According to the Georgia Bureau of Investigations, each county's sheriff's office shall inform the public of the presence of sexual offenders in each community, which is interesting. So it is a may or shall. You know, you've heard that before with, let's say, like concealed carry, whether they're a may issue state or a shall issue state. In Georgia, the code says that it is the responsibility of each county sheriff's office to inform the public of the presence of sexual offenders in each community. And I guess in doing that, they're backed by law putting these signs up. So that's interesting. That's, of course, in neighboring Georgia, and we don't have anything here. But somebody's saying when the porch light goes off, it's too late. Well, what time do you turn the porch light for trick-or-treating? What time? So, and Jay says the same thing, after you turn the porch light off. Well, it depends on when you turn the porch light off. Heather says, in our neighborhood, kids may start going around by 5:30 or 6 p.m. We basically hand out candy until we run out. Oh, isn't that a bad feeling, though? Like, if you run out early, Heather, and you're still, they're still coming. Yes. She says, at that time, we turn off our porch lights, and the kids now know not to come by after that. That is basically the rule of thumb in our neighborhood. If you see porch lights on, you know you can approach that house. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Until somebody, what'll happen in my house is, because there's a series of switches in a row, and somebody will go to turn off one light, and as they're flipping random lights, we'll probably turn our porch lights back on. So there you go. All right. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. I hope you'll have a great Halloween tonight. Remember, check us out online, fmtalk1065.com, where you can get podcasts of this and so many other shows that we do. 7 days a week of live local radio here, 40 hours a week of podcasts waiting for you. You can also subscribe for those podcasts through iTunes or Stitcher. Get those podcasts through the TuneIn Radio app, which is the same one you can use to stream the station. You can also get podcasts there. Listen to music on Spotify. We're on there as well. So in your playlist, in the middle of your tunes, your classic country favorites, or your, you know, some Motown jams or some classic rock, hey, you can mix us in there as well. And we're waiting for you there. And of course, on social media, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Find me on Twitter at FMTalk1065. And on Instagram, just look for FMTalk1065. You get some kind of behind the scenes pictures from inside the studio. Kind of fun. We love your interaction over there, because we're working on getting the snowball built. Like our other platforms, that the snowballs are big, we're trying to get Instagram built up. So come be a part of that. All right. Tomorrow, Friday, it's going to be Jeff Poor hosting the show. My buddy's going to be in studio here, so great guest already lined up, and he's booking a lot more. I know tomorrow State Senate Pro Tem Del Marsh will be here. President Pro Tem Del Marsh will be in studio. They'll be talking about the upcoming session. He and Jeff's going to be in for me a couple days next week. Plus, we have a special series of Get to Know the Candidate interviews running early in the week. I'm gone on sabbatical. I will be back with you at some point in the future if they let me back. All right. So, see y'all then, whenever that happens.